The NCAA men's basketball tournament officially tips off tomorrow morning, so you've still got about 24 hours to get your brackets ready. And for the first time since the tournament began in 1939, you'll have the chance to pick Northwestern University to win or lose, because Northwestern has never been in the brackets before, the only major conference school to fit that description. Here's CBS's live broadcast of the announcement on Sunday that Northwestern was in.
8 seed out of the West. There they are, the Northwestern Wildcats. 78 years in the making. Their first ever NCAA tournament. 23 wins, a school record. There is a well-deserved celebration.
Hey, what took you guys so long?
So how significant is this? To answer that, I turn to Andy Bagnato, Northwestern alum, former Chicago sports writer, and currently partner with Bagnato Flipson here in the Valley. So, Andy, how big a deal is this?
I was a sports writer in Chicago at the Tribune in the 90s when Northwestern made it to the Rose Bowl in 1995. I think this is kind of a similar story in terms of a national interest. Northwestern hadn't been to the Rose Bowl since the 40s. That's the only time they had been. And I think people have this impression of Northwestern, which is somewhat accurate, that, you know, they've not been great at the major sports and really maybe not even that interested in being great. I think the thing that has been the hardest, just from the basketball program standpoint, is it's just a very tough school to recruit to.
People will bring up the fact that Duke, under Coach Mike Krzyzewski, who Coach K, so anyone who follows college basketball at all knows who this is, they've won 5 national championships. And Northwestern hadn't even made the tournament, and yet people will always academically compare those two. Does that comparison make sense, or is this tradition versus kind of non-tradition?
Let me just give you kind of the nutshell history of Northwestern basketball. In 1939, Patton Gymnasium on the Northwestern campus was the site of the first NCAA men's Final Four. Oregon, the Tall Furs, beat Ohio State in the final. The next year, so basically Northwestern's campus was the epicenter of college basketball in 1939. The next year, they tore the building down to build a technological institute, which is this massive structure that's, when we went there, we called it the 4 floors of basement, but it's like the size of, you know, the Pentagon, and it's where, you know, a lot of high-level research gets done, and Northwestern just had its 3rd Nobel Prize last year. It happened to be in chemistry. There has been maybe a question of what's the emphasis at Northwestern. And Duke, there were similar questions about that, and Mike Krzyzewski turned that into a positive and really built that program, and it's become a brand name for Duke. Northwestern just hasn't had that success, and maybe Chris Collins will be their Krzyzewski.
Is this the kind of team that a city like Chicago can embrace, or is Northwestern, being in Evanston and being this high academic school, is there a disconnect there?
Well, I think the bandwagon is in full gear, although they may need skis on it after the snowstorm the other day. But you know, even when they went to the NIT, I remember I was a season ticket holder. There were lines around the building to get NIT tickets. And, you know, Northwestern bills itself as Chicago's Big Ten team, which is marketing, essentially. When I was in school in the 80s, the only time they sold out was, you know, IU. Indiana would come in with Bob Knight, and it would be a Hoosier home game. Illinois was a home game. Wisconsin home game. That's not the case anymore. I think Northwestern has a decent following, but it's still a very small private school. I mean, 7,500 undergrads. There are 15 times as many Illinois fans on the North Shore of Chicago as there are Northwestern fans, which is where Northwestern's located on the North Shore. There's probably as many Notre Dame fans on the North Shore, and there's certainly a lot more Notre Dame fans in the city.
The Cubs, it was over 100 years, and yeah. You know, lovable losers with Northwestern basketball. It's just been, I think the lovable part has not been included. Do you see any comparisons there?
Yeah, no, I do. And Chicago's had a really checkered history of athletic success. And so when they have someone like Northwestern, and I'm not comparing it on the national level. I mean, the Cubs were just an international phenomenon, but there tends to be this love for underdogs. Chicago has always, you know, was called the second city, and there's always this sense of, you know, us against the world there. Yeah, there's some comparisons that, you know, people who probably can't name 2 players on that roster are suddenly filling out the bracket going, you know, if they beat Vanderbilt, they might be able to get by Gonzaga, you know. So that's pretty standard for Chicago sports fans.
Andy, finally, what will you be doing if on Thursday afternoon Northwestern wins? How do you follow that up? Will we be able to find you streaking through the quad or something? What are you going to do?
Well, I don't think I'll be streaking through any quads, but I really haven't thought that far ahead. I mean, I'm, you know, fingers crossed. I hope they do well, and I'm sure that they'll really carry themselves well. And that's the key. I mean, they represent the school in the best way.
Andy Bagnato is a graduate of Northwestern, a former Chicago sports writer, and now a partner with the Valley-based Bagnato Flipson, which is the PR firm for the Phoenix host committee of the Final Four. Northwestern's maiden voyage in the NCAA men's tournament begins tomorrow afternoon in Salt Lake City.